Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
It's a sunny day.
Good day,
and you're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Thank you so much. 7:11 in the morning.
We take a walk.
This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 877-213-4 Lou is the number. 877-213-4568. Good morning to David Jennings and Joe Brand.
Good morning, Lou.
How are we doing?
Doing well.
Good morning,
yeah.
Lou.
Oh, and good morning, Lindsay.
Thanks. Thank you. Don't forget about me.
I do this every time because we do the show in New York before and we have our whole good morning and everything, but I realize that I need to say good morning to you as well. Good morning. And Joe Brand, you may know this, but our crack producer who, you know, I've known a very long time and you as well, she's celebrating a big birthday next week.
Oh, that's right. Marlene Wells puts all the birthdays in the fridge nearby.
What?
And I keep seeing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
And she put your address on there and said, make sure everybody sends her a card.
Gift.
Yep.
Right.
And
right.
Great. Does it say the year and everything? Does it say like
how old? No,
it
just says.
Marlene just guesses, so she just put a random number up there.
95.
Well, what's so amazing is that, you know, I spared no expense and I got her a House Smarts hat. And
cute.
Yeah, right.
Add it to my collection.
Right. Of more things that have to do with Lou. Anyway, she's got a big birthday coming up. And so we just have to don't talk too much about it. She's a little nervous about, you know, permanently being at 39, but she'll be.
I'm okay. I just, when I really think about it, like what I was, I remember my father turning 40 and it was like, I mean, he was ancient. It was, I remember black balloons everywhere and that the over
really?
The hill thing.
Really? For 40?
Oh yeah. The over the hill thing isn't really like, that doesn't really happen as much anymore.
Right.
But when he was turning 40, it was like we had the big button that said over the hill and then the big black balloons. And
were all your memories in black and white and like a piano playing in the background?
My wife and I ordered the, you know, the, what is it, the 40 cows to end up on your, lordy, look who's 40,
so
you know,
funny,
on your.
Because I told my sister and brother.
Is it cows like or swans, whatever it is?
And I said, if I get anything that says lordy, look who's 40, I will not talk to you forever. I'd rather hear over the hill, I think.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well,
happy
birthday.
Moving on. Thank you.
Joe Brand, can I ask you a quick sports thing?
Sure.
Why is it that the Blackhawks cannot beat the Vegas Golden Knights? Am I correct that they have never beaten the Vegas Golden Knights?
They've beaten them once in the regular season.
In like
season.
9 tries or something.
Yeah. I think their overall record is 1-8-1, something like that.
Wow.
Right from the get-go, Vegas is a good team and a good franchise because when they go through the expansion draft, they kind of pull all the middle-tier players from every other team, so that makes them very deep. Like, maybe they don't have superstars right out of the gate, but now they've kind of developed guys like Max Pacioretty and things like that. But they're deep, they're strong, they're fast, and they play a full-on game, and it makes it very, very hard for the Hawks to keep up because they're not as strong as Vegas, but they don't need to be, but they're not as quick as they used to be. So, and they got a good goaltender who is a former Blackhawk, ironically, in Robin
really
Leonard
good.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
So it's an uphill battle, but the Hawks showed some really good signs of improving in game 2, and hopefully they can continue that.
And I know you mentioned this in your sports report, but the Sox have a doubleheader today, right?
They do, yeah. The first game at 12:10.
Nice.
They're trying to squeeze in two. Did you hear about the St. Louis Cardinals?
Well, I've followed that story, but what's the story now?
Well, did you see how they got up to Chicago yesterday?
No.
They drove 41 rental cars.
No way.
Yes. They were planning on playing the Sox yesterday, but another positive test pushed it to today for the doubleheader. And they said, you know what, rather than risk further spread of the virus throughout the team on a plane, we're just going to send everybody up in some carpool rental cars. And
so every player got behind the wheel of a rental car and drove themselves up.
Either that or somebody drove them, but yeah. They made the trip up I-55 from St. Louis.
Well, thankfully, there's a lot of parking on the south side.
And you know what? I'm sure they listen to WGN radio the whole way up.
Yeah.
Because you can get it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, that's good to know. All right, Joe, thank you. We'll talk to you a little bit later on this morning. It's 7:15 in the morning. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Our first call of the morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. And our first caller this morning, get this, is Barbara in Salt Lake City, Utah. Barbara, good morning. And it's really early for you.
Yes, it is. But I've listened to you for years, and I want to make sure that I got on today.
That's so nice. How may I help you this morning?
I have two different toilets with two different problems. The first toilet is on the second level, and I use it mostly for guest toilet. And I noticed that the bowl eventually drains all the way to the bottom, so you can hardly see any water in it.
Okay.
It does back up to another toilet, which is mine in the
other
bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah, they're back to back. But this one, the water just keeps going away.
So it happens all the time or occasionally, or do you ever notice if you flush that toilet, does the water in the other toilet, the one that backs up, does it fluctuate or move a little bit, or do you hear anything on that side?
Happened once. I'd finished going to the bathroom in my toilet, and I flushed it, and I walked by the guest bathroom, mm-hmm. and I heard a gurgling,
mm-hmm.
and I only heard that once, but yes.
So the fact that these back to back, they probably come together in a Y or a T, more than likely a Y. There's either an issue with the venting that's providing the vent for both of these toilets, or there is a clog in the line that's in the wall. You may need the help of a plumber to come and rod that out, and then they can do that. They may have to pull one of the toilets to do it, or maybe even both. But it sounds like a venting issue that is going on there.
Okay.
What was it? You had a second question?
Of course. I have a toilet on the first level of my house.
Okay.
And in February, I had a sewer backup in the basement, and they said it's due to the toilet on the first floor, and they looked down there, and they said it was filled with a lot of roots, and people had told me I should get it jet cleaned, but these guys gave me crystals of some sort.
Copper sulfate?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, but they... go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, instead of just doing this jet clean, that's what they told me to do, and then they said in 6 months it has to be done again. And I don't know what to do with that. Should I get it somebody that does the jet type cleaning?
Actually, what I would rather you do, Barbara, which I think is a better use of your money, is have a plumber come by with a camera they'll put a camera down your sewer and find out what's going on exactly. In other words, they may put this camera down and, here you can get that done for, $300-$400, and they will televise the sewer, and they can put that camera in there, it's a flexible rod, and they can say, hey, you know what, Barbara? 20 feet out going towards the street, the sewer lines collapsed. And there's a big root there. And then that way you know exactly what to do. Just throwing the crystals down there and, you know, maybe they put a rod down there and they found some roots. You just don't know what the damage is. And a better use of your money is to hire a plumber that has a that has this ability to televise your sewer and then tell you exactly what to do. So the reality of it is you're going to pay for the service. Well, I guess there's a couple things. If you hire the plumber to say, hey, I got this problem with my toilet. Can you do that? And, oh, by the way, can you televise my sewer too? Now, they may do that and say, hey, your sewer's fine. Or they may say, you know what, lady? We got to dig up your front yard and patch up this, you know, 3 feet of sewer line for you. But that's the right way to go so you don't have any problems.
Okay. Although this toilet faces the backyard where there's trees, so they could tell me if something in the backyard.
Well, but I'm pretty sure your sewer line may face the back, but the sewer line typically goes out towards the street.
Okay, goes
can,
to.
Can I ask you? Can I ask you a favor for me? Because you're in Salt Lake City, right?
Sure.
How long?
Yeah.
How long have you been there?
8 years now.
Have you seen Donnie or Marie yet?
No, I have not.
Right.
If
you see them, just say Lou Manfredini says hi.
I will.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you calling. Right? Donnie and Marie, right? Utah, right? Don't they still live there?
That I don't know.
I think they do. I'm a little bit country.
Isn't he selling his house? Is it Donnie that's selling his house?
In
Wilmette.
Donnie has a house in Wilmette?
Isn't it? Feel like I'm. It was just a news story.
Do you think he's Don, or do they still call him Donnie?
I call him Donnie.
I do too. I love Donnie. Hi, it's Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. It is 7:22 in the morning. Our phone number is 877-213-4. Lou, we're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
It's Saturday morning.
Right.
You're ready to get working.
Here we go.
That's right. You're tuned into Lou.
Yes, I was just wondering, this mister, I'll come over and help spray, prime, and paint your wrought iron railing?
And House Smarts Radio.
No, that's coming up later on.
He may not be knocking on your door anytime soon, you know, social distancing, but he sure will help you now over these radio airwaves.
What time are you going to be here?
All you have to do is call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
877-213.
When you get the blues.
For me, for Lou.
Get a rock and roll feeling in your bones.
877-213.
Get gone, get
213 for Lou. I would like for me. That would be good. But it doesn't have enough letters.
A little shoe
right?
Boy, wait, say that again, what?
877-213
for
me.
For me.
It's for Lou. That's where you're going to go. All right, let's get to the phone lines right now. 877-213. For Lou. And you know what? We're going to, hey, Barry in Mount Prospect, we're going to get you a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. And,
ooh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, we're going to do that. They're Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. You'll receive a $1,000 app gift card with a full kitchen remodel. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. The offer ends September 15th. How may I help you, sir?
I have a question for you with regard to painting. I purchased a gallon of paint that had primer in it because it was a darker room, and I figured, well, you know, it'll cover, and they claim one coat.
All right.
They were right about the one coat for the most part. But as I was finishing, I noticed that as I moved the roller, it was almost taking the paint off in stripes as I applied it. So the first thing I figured is, well, maybe the rollers had it and I need a new roller. So I changed the roller, same thing.
Wait. It was taking the old paint that you were covering?
No. It was taking the paint that I was applying off in almost pinstripes, maybe 3 inches apart.
Hmm. Okay.
That's what I said. So the first thing I did was change the roller, figuring maybe the rollers had it. And that wasn't the case. And even at that time, I stirred the paint just to make sure I was getting all paint and not what may have settled, or if in fact it would have. So my question is, why? And what can I do about it? Okay. And eventually, you know, I was able to smooth it out and what have you, but it was kind of odd for a while.
Tell me a little bit, Barry, what did you do to prep the surface that you had? In other words, was the color, the paint that you had, was it a satin finish, eggshell, semi-gloss? What was it?
I don't think it was a flat. So, in fact, that was what I was, I think that's what the base coat was, if you will.
Did you wash that wall?
After
did
that,
you sand
yes,
the wall?
Yes. No, I didn't. I did not sand the wall, thinking that in fact, with the primer in it, I could apply the primer directly.
Yeah,
with
the
primer in the paint, I could do that.
And what did you wash the wall with?
Just a little bit of water and some, what did I use? I think I just kind of washed it down with some soap and water. Maybe it's like detergent, like this. Dishwater detergent.
Okay, all right, and then but then you didn't rinse it, did you? You just did that?
No, I went back with a sponge and cleaned it off just to make sure there was no residue.
All right.
Pardon me.
My guess is we're in that area mm-hmm. where you got the stripes, is that there was a little bit of soap residue there that the paint couldn't penetrate. If it was just one area there, I mean,
yeah, here's the
thing. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm getting to be that age where I'm still old school and I feel like this stuff should work. But, you know, all this technology, I'm a big fan of the paint and primer in one. I think it works really well. But I'm also still a fan of lightly sanding a surface before you apply paint to it. And here's the thing. Think about this. These paint companies, all of them, make these claims. Washability, you can put stains on it and you can wash it and, you know, it's going to be clean and whatever. Well, how do they make those claims? They make those claims because the finish, when it dries, is a tough finish, right? So if it's so tough that I can put crayon on it or, you know, dirt or whatever and wipe it off, when I go to put the paint on it, the paint is not like made of muriatic acid that goes through that. It sticks to it. How does it bond there? If I lightly sand the surface and I open up the and I open up those pores of the paint and then I apply it, that to me is the best method to do that. So, I mean, for me, even though they say you're not supposed to do it or you don't have to do it, I still like sanding the wall just a little bit and then washing it and then using the paint and primer.
Okay.
All right. So in your next project, it's more work, I get it, but your next project, that's what we're going to do. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:31 in the morning, we're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you.
7:34 in the morning.
Some of them 877-213-4LOU. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be
abused. This is Phyllis in Chicago. Hi, Phyllis. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Phyllis.
Yes.
Hi, how may I help you?
Hi, I have a condo, and I have a second bathroom to go with the third bedroom. And the tenant that I have in there right now, it seems as if when he takes a shower, he has the fan on while he's in there, and then turns it off immediately when he leaves. And I was in there this week, and there's black mold everywhere. How do I ameliorate this?
All right, well, a couple things.
Okay.
A, if we could get the tenant to keep the fan on, that would be helpful.
Yes. Fan on, okay.
But that would be the first thing. And then, but if is this a separate apartment or is it in your home?
It's a condo, and it's like a little suite. It's a bedroom, bathroom, closet.
Because the reason I mention that to you is that Brohn makes a switch for a fan that you could put in there that has a humidistat built in. So when this person, so this would be a really really smart upgrade for you. If you bought that switch, when their tenant goes in there and uses the bathroom or the shower or whatever, turns the fan on, it has a humidistat in there that will not shut the fan off until
it senses lower humidity.
You're right. Spot on, Phyllis. Brone,
okay.
B-R-O-A-N, makes this switch.
Yeah, they make lots of fans.
And they you probably will find that at a good hardware store. As far as the mold that's there.
Well, that was one of my questions, was should I replace the fan?
Well, the one thing that you can see to make sure, first of all, we want to make sure that it's venting outside, meaning that it's not
okay.
just... It's not just up at a mushroom vent.
It's not just set up there, yeah.
Right. We want to make sure that there's some sort of cover on the outside that when it turns on, you see air blowing out. The way you can test the fan if it's working, when it's on, take a piece of tissue paper, like two or three pieces long, and if you can get up on a little stepladder and you hold it up to the fan, if it sucks and holds
the toilet paper, it'll suck.
And if it holds the toilet paper up there, then you know that it's drawing enough air. To clean the mold that you have.
Yes, that's my next tip.
There's a mold cleaner called, and you're going to want to write this down, Concrobium Mold Control.
Not just Clorox.
No, because Clorox it doesn't have residual value, and actually, because it's mostly water, it could actually help to promote the mold come back. The Concrobium kills the mold. So what you're going to do is you're going to spray it on, let it dry, wipe it off.
What about how long? Just follow bottle directions.
Follow the directions on the bottle. I mean, how long depends on the humidity level in the space. So probably a couple hours. And then you're going to wipe it away.
And then
it should be clean if this is relatively new mildew and mold. Then spray it again and let that sit. Just let that dry and don't do anything else. It will give you residual value so it doesn't come back. But the trick with all of this is that fan stays on to get rid of all that moisture during the showers. And that switch that I'm talking to you by Brone, I think, will really help you out. Thanks so much, Phyllis, for the phone call. Hope that works for you. 877-213-4LOU. Let's talk with Kelly, who's in Lake Zurich. Hi, Kelly. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a 12 by, say, 6 foot laundry room with very, very old sheet vinyl flooring.
Okay.
And I need a suggestion on how to replace it that I could do it myself and it won't cost a fortune.
I like this. I like this, Kelly. You go, girl. Let me ask you this. Is your washer and dryer just sitting on the floor?
Yes.
Okay, so that you can disconnect all that and get that room empty, correct?
Correct.
And the sheet vinyl that's there, is it sound, meaning that it's not peeling up or anything?
It's not. It's just discolored and ugly and old.
Now, this laundry room is adjacent to what rooms?
There's a bathroom on one side.
Yeah.
And then an office on the wall with the laundry room
and what
the washer and dryer.
So the bathroom is I'm assuming a tile floor.
It's hardwood floor, powder room.
Oh, okay. And then the office.
Carpet.
And is the floor relatively on the same plane as those floors, or do you step up or step down?
To go into the laundry room from the kitchen here, there's a little, you go down a little bit. There's a little, it's a little bit lower than the kitchen floor.
And the kitchen floor, you said, is made of what?
Hardwood.
Okay, perfect. I want you to use luxury vinyl tile. And this is one of the only times I'm going to let you do this. I'm not a big fan of putting a finished floor over a finished floor, but they're both floating floors. And so this luxury vinyl, there's a lot of different brands out there. If you go to a good flooring store, you're going to spend, for the good stuff, it's 100% waterproof. That's A number one. For the good stuff, you're going to pricing is going to be around $3 a foot and up. But this is, since it's, pretty standard, you click this thing together, you set it up, you get a nice line in the floor, you measure it so it's nice and straight. They have it that looks like hardwood. They have it that looks like tile. And It is just super resilient, wonderful stuff, and you can put the washer dryer right back on the top of it, and it'll look amazing.
So I put it right on top of this old vinyl flooring?
It's the only time I'm going to let you do that. Don't ever ask me again to do it again. This is the only time. This is one exception. All right? This is e-learning. This is sort of like e-learning. This is like the e-learning, right? This is like a Zoom. This is a, not a Zoom call. It's a Loom call. It's a Loom call.
A Loom call.
A Loom call.
Loom learning.
Okay, so I just put it on and I snap it together and
click. Yeah, you cut it. So you can a couple two things you can do.
Okay.
A, you probably are going to need a little jigsaw because around the doors and stuff, you may have to do a little zing zing, you know, like around that area. But they also make a vinyl tile floor cutter that's like a hand guillotine. And this, you just slide it in there, and you push down on it, and it goes. You're going to get an amazing arm workout.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're going
to pull weeds.
This is a different kind of arm workout. Your arms are going to look great. People are going to be like, "Oh my gosh, Kelly, you look great. What are you doing?" I'm installing flooring now. It'll be like your own little workout.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
Good luck with the project. Hey, when you're done with it, I want to see pictures. Send me send me a thing at lou@housemartstv.com and say, "Hey, remember we talked on the phone and I did this flooring? I want to see what it looks like."
All right. Will do. Thanks, Lou.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Let's keep going here, talking with folks here. This is Carla in Lake in the Hills. Hi, Carla. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Lou, I love you.
Carla, I love you.
I know you do. It's a good relationship.
It's great.
Okay.
Don't tell my wife.
I've got a question for you. No, don't tell my husband.
All right. It'll be our little secret.
So, excellent. Facebook, I Googled on your page, Vinyl Flooring, and Karn Dean came up.
Oh, yeah.
We've got three dogs, a pool. Our hardwood floors are ruined by the patio door because, you know, the kids come in and out. And
yeah.
We have major water damage. And it's past the point I'm not going to have them sanded. It's just too much of a pain. They're probably 20 years old. So I'm wondering what you recommend.
So Karn Dean was
for
one
vinyl
of...
plank.
Karn Dean, Karn Dean is one of the kind of original luxury vinyls, and one of the things that Karn Dean had, they developed this loose lay flooring, which is kind of a neat idea, but I don't love it anymore because over time we actually tried it. The flooring itself is fantastic, don't get me wrong, but they now have click-together kinds, and that's what I would do if you're going to go with any kind of luxury vinyl floor, not a loose lay. The loose lay literally just went down next to each other, and they had like this backing on it, and it almost, you know, sets down there like brick pavers, but it does move a little bit, and so it's not great. So I want it to click together if you're going to use that. I have talked a lot on this show. There's a company out of California called Cali Bamboo, C-A-L-I Bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
They make a luxury vinyl floor that's really nice. Now, there's a bunch of different manufacturers. I have no connection to this company whatsoever. There are a lot of hardware stores, ironically, are selling this Cali Bamboo. It's all special order. So they've kind of gone a different route in how they're doing it. Are you gonna install it, or are you gonna have someone install it?
No, I'm gonna have somebody install it.
Okay, so then for you, so that see, Carla, if we were together,
yeah, you know me well. Lou goes,
Carla, you know we go way back. If we were together, I'd do the floor for you. Anyway,
I would enjoy that. Yeah,
I would go to like a good flooring store. The thing is like. Yeah, you can get a deal at the big boxes, but the selection is minimal, meaning that they really are driven by the price point. So you're not going to, you know, there's some stuff out there that's around $2 a square foot that's decent, but you're going to spend a little bit more. You're going to be in the three plus. And if you go to a good tile and flooring store, you know, whether it's Floor and Decor or
They just opened one up out here. That's where I was going to go.
Yeah, so they have a huge selection, and they can also help you with installers, you know, that can all go through them to kind of set the whole thing up. I think that's how they do it. And so I would go that route. And it's really durable. Here's the one thing that I'm going to tell you. So the thing is, they're 100% waterproof. That's what we're looking for. The thing you got to know about this, Carla, is that with a luxury vinyl tile, it is durable. But by that patio door and stuff, it can get wet and it can still get scratched up. So when you go to do this, buy an extra box.
Okay.
So that with those kids and the dog and life, you know, and like, oh man, the floor looks great except right by the door. You can hire a flooring person to come and go click, 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 click. They take up the half a dozen tiles that don't look so good and they put them click, click, click back down again.
Okay. What do you know about putting it over existing either ceramic tile or the hardwood floors that we have?
So, I mean, here's the thing. I mentioned that with the other caller. I'm not a huge fan of putting a new finished floor over an old finished floor. I mean, I have to tell you, if you have hardwood floors, you know, it's a renewable floor. And you could hire a company to come out and sand that for about $2, $2.50 a foot. And they'll look brand new. And then maybe what you do is you resand those floors and then you be more deliberate about, I'm going to put a nice rug in front of the patio door. Like, you know what? There's, have you ever heard of this company called Floor, F-L-O-R? Floor makes these carpet squares that they have some of the most beautiful designs and they're super thin. And you build them yourself, like these squares, and you use these stickers on the back. It sounds crazy, but I've used this product for years as an entry rug. And they're thin, so it doesn't, like, doors will open over the top of it. They absorb water. They have a rubber backing. And, I mean, I cannot say to you, cover a hardwood floor with a luxury vinyl. It's just not worth it because the thing is, you'll spend on that luxury vinyl installed probably $10 a square foot, okay, is probably a decent number, maybe even higher than that. 10 years from now, when that floor has seen its life cycle, it's going to be even more to put it back down. You'll refinish the hardwood floor, like I mentioned, say for $2.50 a foot. It'll look brand new. 10 years from now, if you have to refinish it again, now it's $3 a foot. It's a better value, and when you go to sell the house, Carla, it's real hardwood floors. It makes a listing sheet. Luxury vinyl doesn't.
All right.
You know what this is here? You know, I'm circling a finger around my head. What is this, Lindsay? I'm more than a... Hold it.
Pretty face.
More than pretty a pretty face here. Resand those floors, Carla, and you'll be happy. Trust me. 7:49 in the morning, Lou Manfredini, more than just a pretty face. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 7:52 in the morning. We're laughing this morning. Okay. So we have I have this cup, this coffee cup, and it's a really good mug that I'm using today. And evidently, and maybe some of you people listening know, there's this artist called
Ray Dunn.
Ray Dunn.
R-A-E.
You looked it up already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's on the bottom.
So a friend of my wife's, a very dear friend of my wife's, is obsessed with this Ray Dunn. And evidently you can buy his stuff at Target or maybe Home Goods or whatever. And he makes these like mugs and platters. And we didn't even know that we had some of this stuff. And anyway, I don't know.
It's a she, by the way.
Oh, it's a she.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. So anyway, this friend of my wife's is obsessed with Ray Dunn, and they're really hard to come by or whatever. And so I think the kids bought my wife this mug, said like world's greatest mom or something like that, you know, for maybe Mother's Day. And it's a really nice mug. It's big. It's got a big handle. And her friend saw this and, oh my gosh, you love Ray Dunn. And I was like, I don't even know who Ray Dunn is. And so then as a joke, she found a mug for me because she knows I like a big cup of coffee, obviously, in the morning. And so, but the cup says, I love Dad. So it says, I heart Dad, written on it. So, you know, the joke is I'm like walking around with a cup that says I love daddy, which is a little weird.
And now every time I see you take a sip of this cup,
I love dad,
all I can see is I love daddy.
I love daddy. And it's a great mug. And it's just, it makes me giggle every time I think about what it says.
Well, you and me both.
Right. Well, at least I can make you laugh. 877-213-4LU. Who would you like me to talk to? I'm a little confused here. How about we talk with Dave, right? Dave is in Arlington Heights. Hey, Dave, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you just fine.
I got a question for you. I'm in the middle of taking bids for a concrete driveway at my home.
Okay.
Some of the contractors are talking about using the concrete. He has like little fiberglass pieces put in it. And some of them are talking about
fiber mesh.
Fiber mesh. Some of them are talking about using metal wire in the concrete. And some are saying you don't need that if you put the fiberglass mesh in there. What's the best route to go?
Okay, so for me, and I'm a little old school because I used to, you know, pour a lot of concrete, and I've used them both. Now for a driveway, is that what we're doing, a driveway?
Yes, sir.
I'd do the metal that goes inside there because I think it's stronger. Now you can do them both, but I don't think you need to. The trick with concrete, and this is my opinion, okay? Remember what's going to happen when these guys are doing this work. They got to get it. They got to finish it. They got to leave so it looks good. And I've always recommended that people talk to the guys, make sure that they pour the concrete and it's got to be wet in the truck, meaning that it's got a little bit more water in it. So when they're working it, they don't have to really scrub to get the what they call the cream to rise to the top, because if that's too thin, that's where you get a little spalling from the concrete. You know, a year later, people are like, oh, I get all these pops. What's going on? But in order for that to work, you have to take the afternoon off and sit and watch your driveway so that kids don't come running with their bicycle or do anything like that and keep them off of it. And then after a few hours, right? So let's say the guys finish at 3 in the afternoon. At 5, you're going to take a hose and you're going to lightly hose it down to slow down the curing process.
Okay.
All right? So if it were me, I would use the metal. That's my opinion. That is a matter of opinion, right? There's people that will go the other route, say, oh, no, fiber mesh is better. Fiber mesh, to me, is what you use in a basement floor. Like interior concrete, where you're looking to give it some more strength, as opposed to a metal mesh down there, because I think but for cars and heavy weight, I think that the metal mesh in the concrete properly installed is the better way to go. And, you know, we do have a sponsor who's been around since the 50s, Robert R. Andreas and Sons. So if you haven't called them yet, to get an estimate, you know, as a possible way. And they may, I honestly don't know what their preferred method is. They may have a different suggestion for you as well, but I would definitely give them a call at least to get another bid. 877-213-4LU is our phone number. Let's talk with, is it Jeff in Palos Park? Hey, Jeff, yeah. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
How you doing today?
Good.
I'm trying to need some replacement windows, and I'm looking at vinyl, and I'm trying to decide between Gilkey and Sunlight Essentials line. I really like the fact that Gilkey is a one-stop shop,
right?
Versus the other branding. What I'm reading about is a good company or a good product, and then the company is out of Sunday Park in Illinois that would install it.
So, full disclosure. You know, I do. Gilkey is not only a sponsor of this radio show, but I also work to help promote their company. You know, you may see me on their commercials on TV or in ads on the Tribune. So I want you to know that as I give you this advice. The difference between Gilkey and most other window companies, I don't know this company that you're speaking of, but do they make their own windows?
No.
Okay. So Gilkey.
I'm looking at the Sunlight Essentials line is what I was looking at.
Through a different vendor.
Yeah, well, Sunlight makes their own window, and then, yeah, the installer would be the installer, I guess.
Correct.
They don't make their own window.
Right. So now, So now if so here's what happens, and this is true of any if you hired a plumber and you said, "Hey, I need you to come and install three toilets at my house. I'm going to buy the toilets, okay? And you're going to come and install the toilets." And the plumber will say, "All right, fine, I'll come do that. It's going to cost you X amount of dollars." And then 6 months down the road, something goes wrong with the toilet, like the guts of the toilet break. And you call the plumber and say, "Hey, my toilet's not working. You know, can you come and fix it?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, it'll be another $90. I'm like, "What do you mean? You put the toilet in." "I did not provide the toilet. The fact that the insides broke is not my issue. But if you buy the toilet from the plumber, that plumber will warranty the window and the labor for X amount of time," right? So now you buy this window from this company, right? Here's the windows, here's the installer, and then 6 months from now, there's some problem. Now, I don't know this company, but these are things that happen. Well, the window's fine. The guy didn't put it in right. And then the guy goes, no, I put it in right. There's something wrong with the window. And now we're pointing fingers. You may pay a little bit more for Gilkey windows, but they're really good windows. And I joked about this last week. My sister-in-law, who's renovating a house in Chicago, I love my sister-in-law, but she is a tough woman. And her project has had lots of hiccups along the way. She's been working on this place for like a year. I have had minimal involvement in this project, but I told her, "You should use Gilkey." And a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I went to go look at the progress of the house. And the windows were installed, the doors were installed, they look fabulous. And she, this is her quote, "The Gilkey people have been fantastic. They've communicated with me. I really like the windows and doors. Their installation crew was great." And I'm going to tell you what, if you can please my sister-in-law, they can please you.
Okay.
All right. So give them a call and they should be able to help you out. Ooh, I am running up against time. Quick break and then we'll go to news.
You know what is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch and Max had some friends over and we have a powder room on the first floor. And this young man like, "Oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom?" "Well, it's right through the door there."
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I just.
Do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you too are the lucky ones because he's taking your calls right here, right
modern
now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now and it doesn't smell.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
It is amazing. We're going to talk about plumbing in a little bit. Actually, remodeling your bathroom. We're going to be talking with Mike Turner, who's the Area Development Manager for Bathfitter, coming up after 8:30. But this hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Arnold Electric Services and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our number. This is Todd, who's in South Joliet. Hey, Todd,
hello.
You're on House Smarts Radio.
How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunate timing. Yeah, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I can.
Hi. Sorry about that. My problem is the recent storm that went through. I live in Dwight, Illinois, Joliet.
Yeah.
And derecho, or in our household, we like to call the angry Rachel, went through and knocked all our trees and power and everything down. And up to this point, we've been without power, and we're using a generator to, you know, keep the necessities moving. And my generator is running just fine, except it has stopped producing electricity. And I'm just calling to find out if you got any tips for me that might help make it work again.
Okay, so it's running. There now you've checked. There are breakers on it. Those are set.
Those are all good.
Tell me about the generator. What? How big? How many watts?
5,500.
And how many receptacles do you have on it?
Four.
So you've got four...
Four on the 120 side, and then one on the 220 side.
That is a...
240 side.
That's a plug. And do you have a plug that's a 120 side that's like a round plug that you can plug in and twist?
No, they are all your normal receptacle.
Three-prong.
Yes.
Huh.
So my wife, who is the Google queen, kind of looked some things up, and we gave a few of those tricks a try. One of them seemed like it was going to work. Something with basically my generator lost its load. And so if you reverse the magnetism, apparently it will kick back on, but mine did not appreciate that, and it did not work. So I didn't know if there were any other tricks that I could give.
Well, I mean, and is it, okay, so a couple things. It's a, and the problem is you can't find a generator to save your life now. that, you know,
I borrowed a buddy's, and yeah, his, he did not take good care of it. It's not working either.
Right. Okay, with that, I mean, without like a tester, so I would, is it running or is it off? It's off now.
It's off now.
Okay. And, you know, there is, there's leads that should be on the side of the unit that, so you've got the generator itself, and then there should be two contact posts with cables that come off like battery cables that then connect to the housing that you then plug things into. Can you see that?
Yes, you can. I unfortunately am not in the area of the generator at this very moment.
Okay.
I am taking my dad to an appointment.
Okay, so what I would do when you get back is find those two leads, loosen those leads, and take them off. So keep in mind where they should be labeled red and black, and so make sure you put a marker or something so you make sure you put them back in the right spot. Make sure that those contacts are clean. There could be corrosion there that you're not getting a good contact, and that's not just, so I would take that off, take a little sandpaper or steel wool, clean up the contact, clean up the cable itself, then put it back on and tighten it. Not, it doesn't have to be like, you know, standing on it, but tighten that up so it's a good strong connection. And then if possible, take a look if you can view, if there's a cover plate that you can see where that lead goes, there could be a contact. That cable could go from one end to another to that, you know, to the control housing. Make sure that if you have the ability to pull that off, you clean that up as well. Other than that, if it's inside the coil of the generator, there's nothing you're going to do to fix that. And quite frankly, you know, if you sent that generator in to get fixed, it would probably cost you more or just about as much as a real generator. But this could be the issue that happens. It does happen. It just corrodes and you're losing contact on one side. And if you clean that up, there's a good chance that it works. So when are you going to be home?
Let's see. It should be in about 2 hours or so.
Okay. Give it a shot and then send us a text or call me back and let me know if it works, if we're still on the air. Okay.
I will do that. I appreciate it very much.
And also I hope you're doing this, but for anybody listening, make sure that generator you're using it outside and it's at least, 15, 20 feet away from the house, right?
Absolutely. It is.
Yep. Good. All right. Be careful. I'm really sorry about this. You know, when those storms hit, you know, we obviously own a couple hardware stores, and we were inundated. We lost power at our store in Chicago for like 2 days, and we were running off a generator as well. And I was shocked, not shocked, but we had a couple generators in stock, obviously, that, they sold right away. And there was a guy that came in and bought a small one. And I said, okay, you know how to use this? And I kind of showed him how to do that, make sure you put the oil in there. And I go, where are you going to set this thing up? And he goes, well, I figure I'm just going to run it in my garage. And I think that, you know, when you get in a situation like this where you're just freaked out and you never operate, and we had a conversation about this, and then, of course, he goes, of course, what was I thinking? You know, they got to be away from the house. You got to turn the exhaust, wherever the unit is, away from the house, and it should be a good 20 feet. The other issue is that the leader cords, the cords that you come off of there, depending on what you're going to run, should be a thicker cord, a 12-gauge heavy duty. That's not your standard extension cord that you buy. It's thicker because you've got this draw. First of all, you've got this generator pushing this electricity, and then you've got appliances like your refrigerator or a sump pump that when they kick on, they draw a lot, and it's like trying to pull a thick milkshake through a small straw. So you want that straw to be as big as possible so that the resistance on both things, the appliance and the generator, are as minimal as possible. And that really does make a difference. And then running multiple cords to things and not overloading it really is key. I'll talk a little bit more about that maybe a little bit later on, because I do have a little bit of knowledge in this, and I just want, for those of you that are thinking about it, about buying a generator, it's a good thing to do when you don't need one, because right now you can't buy one to save your life. All right. It's 8:22 in the morning.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some more. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay.
That's Mike Jakubowski's doppelganger, Nick Offerman, Mike Jakubowski. They'd be buddies. They'd be giggling together.
And that's the belly laugh. Don't
you ever leave. Welcome back. Wouldn't it be great if somebody was calling right now named Sally, and we just go to Sally?
They would. Well, we could. I'm sure Joan could be a Sally.
We could. She could. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, 8:26 in the morning. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number, 877-213-4568. This is Joan.
Hello.
Who's in Joliet. Hi, Joan. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. I've been listening to you for a long time. My friend has a older house. It's like 70 years old. And the bathroom has ceramic tile, which is yellow and burgundy. Do you know anyone that paints ceramic tile? I mean, the tile is in perfect condition. There's no cracks or anything in it.
It's on a floor?
No, it's on the walls, the whole bathroom in yellow and burgundy.
Yeah. I mean, any painter will paint the tile. It's just the how long it's going to last. In other words, okay, so this isn't on the floor. It's on the wall. Is this also in a shower?
Yeah.
Okay.
All over.
It can all be painted if you use a tile paint. And if you hired a good painter, you would just have them wash down the walls. I would lightly sand the tile to try and rough it up just a little bit. And then apply, like Rust-Oleum makes a really good tile paint that is super goopy and sticky, but it's self-leveling, and they could roll that on, and on a vertical surface, it would hold up really well. And but the thing is that in the shower, I wouldn't, you know, you got to be really careful about what you wash it with. But a good painter, Rust-Oleum tub and tile paint, comes in white, and I think you can even tint it, but both of those, if you did it, would look really nice. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Sue, who is in El Paso. Hi, Sue. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, hi there. How are you today?
I'm well. What's
it's
going on?
It's a gorgeous day here in El Paso.
How may I help
you? Anyway, can you hear me? I'm going to move.
We can hear you just fine.
I have a sump pump. Okay, I have a sump pump that supposedly drains into a 12-foot by 12-foot pit filled with rock. It's got a vent. It's got like a little chimney-like way out in the middle of the yard. I've got about an acre of land.
Okay.
Anyway, after we had a huge downpour several weeks ago, about 6 inches, I think we did. It just, the pipe going into the pipe that leads to this pit, it just wouldn't accept the water, just squished out everywhere. Well, I disconnected it and then redirected it to my yard, which is working, but I don't want it in my yard. I want, you know, it goes underwater if we have a real bad
sure
rain. So I tried it just a couple of days ago. I reconnected it the way it was supposed to be, and it kind of did the same thing. And once the pump stopped, I'm holding it down. I'm getting all wet because it's squishing out everywhere. It just sucked it out. So it was almost like a vacuum. Is it my vent, my chimney out by the pit is, you know, it seems to not be clogged. Is there something I can do? I've used a hose down the drain. It just is
not clogging at all. You mean it's not accepting water?
It's not accepting when I connect that pipe.
Right.
The way it's
okay.
supposed to
and
be.
The pipe that you connect, the pipe that you connect to, is it underground? In other words, does your sump pump go out of the house above grade and then it goes out
it
and then down and it's underground?
Yes, okay. It does.
And
I have a 1.5-inch PVC. It goes into that.
Right.
Yeah.
So my guess is that that pipe is clogged. And so the thing that you can do yourself is we need to open up where that pipe comes out of the house. Is it PVC? Is it white PVC? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's open. I have it all open.
Okay, so we need to get a small... and how far away did you say this pit is from the house?
Oh, quite a distance. You know, it's...
40 feet?
Certainly. Oh, yeah, more than that.
Okay.
We've got it, like I said, we've got an acre. So
okay, well, the thing is, you're going to need a sink drain auger because it's only 1.5-inch pipe. And you can buy like a 25-foot one, and maybe the clog is in the first 25 feet. And you're going to go down that, and you're going to try and push that snake down there and spin it by hand and go that far. And it'd be hard for you to find something that small won't go that long. The only other way you could, if you go 25 feet and it's still clogged, then you got to dig up that spot, cut the pipe. Then put the snake back in there, go another 25 feet, and then put a collar in there and glue it back and do 25 feet at a time. But probably you have something lodged or clogged in there. It could be right at the end at the pit where, you know, the water or leaves or something clogged up in there, and that could be the problem. And then you're free and clear, and then that pit should take the water. Thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk with... Mike Turner, who's the Area Development Manager for Bath Fitter, and if you're thinking about remodeling your bathroom and kind of updating it, I think you'll find this conversation to be pretty interesting. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. It's 8:35 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. Okay, are you thinking about remodeling your bathroom? Maybe you're looking at that bathroom and going, man, I just need to upgrade it. I want it to be done quickly. I want it to be done affordably. Or maybe you're thinking about having that bathtub turned into a shower. Well, there's a company that can do this for you, and you've been hearing them here on House Smarts Radio for a while. Joining me on the phone line right now is Mike Turner, who is the Area Development Manager for Bath Fitter. Mike, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Thanks, Lou. Good morning, Lou. I appreciate you having us on again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Mike, I know that people have been hearing the ads about Bath Fitter, but can you give our listeners a little history lesson as to the company and kind of how you guys got your start? Because I know that the start really was in the commercial market where, you know, the demands were pretty stringent. But talk a little bit about the history.
I will, and great question, Luke. So Bath Fitter was founded in 1984 in Montreal, Canada, by three brothers. Their goal was to make it easier and more time-effective for commercial and residential properties to upgrade their old, worn bathtubs. One of the brothers' wives kind of said to him, hey, I refuse to bath my son in this bathtub. You need to do something about it. So they came up with our custom solution. And today we've had over 2.5 million satisfied customers since 1984.
Wow. So the concept with Bath Fitter is that, I mean, I think, Mike, when people, when they think about acrylic liners of for a tub and a shower, the first thing comes to mind of just kind of this flat, inexpensive panel that, you know, maybe you see in an RV or something like that. And that couldn't be further from the truth when it comes to the design and how this stuff looks. Can you talk a little bit about the material and maybe some of the choices that people have?
Absolutely. So with Bathfitter, we use a quarter-inch thick acrylic. It's custom-made. We make and manufacture our own product out of Montreal and out of Springfield, Tennessee. We offer a unique tub-over-tub process. So we come in with our customizable fit. We have a one-piece seamless wall that no one else in the marketplace has. We offer a lifetime warranty on our product, so we're going to stand behind that. We do this in as little as one day. We have Bathfitter has a team of experts, our own trained employees that are certified. And best of all, Lou, we have affordable payment options available to all of our customers so that we can make any solution fit their budget.
Now, when
it's a great product.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say it's a great product, and we have a customizable solution for everyone. And that's the beautiful thing. We're not the RV. We are looking for long-term, lifelong customers that are looking for a business relationship and are going to have all their needs taken care of.
What about the, a lot of people will say to me, oh, I heard that when you put these acrylic liners, especially on the tub, you know, when you put that on the tub, it feels squishy under your feet. That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. So what we do, we actually have over 700 different types of tub molds, and our sales professionals and sales consultants are going to come into the home. It's a free estimate and a free evaluation. And what they're going to do is they're going to take 10 tub measurements. They're going to take 17 wall measurements. But on that tub, they're going to make sure that they get that customizable fit, proper measurement, measured to your tub. And we're going to make sure that our acrylic liner goes over top and it fits like a glove. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have that squishy feeling.
Right.
And again, we offer a lifetime warranty. We stand behind our products.
Now, some people, you know, maybe have a bathtub and a shower that, you know, has seen better days. And, you know, they, kind of the typical thing you hear from people is like, well, you know, when I push on this wall, it kind of moves a little bit, you know, like water's gotten back there and damage it. You guys recognize the fact that covering, you're not going to cover up a problem. You'll remedy or help to remedy if someone had something there before your liner goes in, right? So people have the peace of mind to know that everything is safe and sound before the liner goes on.
Absolutely. And we recognize that water is the most powerful element on earth. And that water can get behind things. And that's why our solution is designed to be customizable and it's airtight, watertight. So what we do, if we have tiles that are a little bit loose or there's some water damage behind it, you know, we can cut those tiles out, we can put in some green board, we can put in some drywall, and then our solution fits right over top. And we just need to take out those pieces that are wet or damaged so we don't leave you with anything that could be compromised down the road.
Mike, one other thing that I want to ask you, how about conversions? You know, I hear from a lot of people where, you know, the bathtub becomes a little bit of an obstruction. You know, maybe people are having hip surgery or you know, whatever. As we get a little bit older sometimes, you know, mobility can be an issue. Can Bathfitter assist people when it comes to conversions from a tub to a shower?
Absolutely. This is one of the greatest things about Bathfitter. We can do our tub-over-tub unique process for those people that have, you know, we have an aging population. There's 10,000 people that retire in the United States every day. And retirement homes and things are expensive. So what we've done is we have a solution where we can come in, remove your bathtub, we can put in a nice customizable shower base, we can do flat floors, we can do roll-ins if it needs to be wheelchair accessible, and we can completely remove any restrictions that you have due to mobility or health issues, and honestly, just to stay safer.
Right.
We can add some grab bars in that shower to make sure you're still getting in and out without any issues. We have a low threshold base, so we can actually lower that shower base a little bit to accommodate anyone
having those issues? It's a great question, Lou. Yeah, and it's one that we're getting more and more of as our population ages.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, when we talk about, in particular, accidents in the home, I mean, the high percentage of these accidents that occur happen in a bathroom. And this is an area, if you're at all thinking about renovating or kind of updating it, that, you know, why not, you know, do something like this to make your life a lot easier with something, a simple transformation like that. I know, too, in the time of this, you know, pandemic, there was a, you know, there was a early on, you know, people were really apprehensive about having, you know, contractors come into their homes. And, you know, I worked really hard on this show to talk to different contractors and people that were coming in there, and a lot of people like Bathfitter are taking steps to make sure that the process is safe, that you know, the right safety protocols are there. And I know for some people we're getting a little bit more comfortable with our world. Some are still apprehensive. However, you know, to tell me what you guys are doing at Bathfitter to try and make the process as safe and as efficient as possible.
Sure. So when COVID-19 hit, things got crazy. And I mean, we went to work. We were 7 days a week. We had to make sure that our processes were perfected. But most importantly, it was all about safety. Safety is our number one priority. The safety is of our employees, the safety of our customers. So we tried to come up with creative and safe ways to change how we do things, not just in our customers' homes, but we looked at our plants. We looked at our people. We looked at everything. Once we talked and tested our ideas, we rolled it out. And even right now, we still offer virtual consultations. We've provided our people with all the proper PPE that they need, the safety equipment, so our customers feel safe with us coming in. And, I mean, the solutions now are endless. It's amazing how much health and safety has grown and how much of a priority it's become. But our customers' safety and our employee safety is our number one priority. Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to hear. And it's good to hear that you guys are back at it, doing the work that you do and helping people, you know, to improve their lives, in particular in their bathrooms. All right, Mike, how do people get a hold of you folks at Bathfitter to, A, see the kinds of beautiful bathrooms you can create and maybe even schedule an appointment to come out and have someone come and take a look?
Great question, Lou. So we recommend that people go on Bathfitter.com. There's a design-your-own bathroom. They can pick and play and mix and match all kinds of our bathroom options and pick something that they like. There's an 800 number that will take them to the office located in their area. In the Chicago area, we have offices in Mokena, Lombard, and Northbrook. Rachel, Donna, and Mona are there now. If anybody has calls, they're welcome to call in. And, you know, we appreciate being able to come on and discuss our product with your show, Lou. You guys have a great audience, and we have a great relationship, and I really thank you for everything that that you're doing for Bathfitter in allowing us to showcase our wonderful product.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, Mike, I do appreciate it. I thank you so much for waking up with us this morning, give us a little insight into Bathfitter. Continued success, health to you and your family. Stay safe out there, and let's keep doing the work that we're doing to help people out.
We will, Lou, and thanks again. All the best to you and your audience, and I hope you guys have a great Saturday.
Appreciate you getting up with us this morning. Bathfitter.com is the website. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about a bathroom and you want to upgrade it, and you would be amazed at how beautiful some of these liners are. They're really something else. Really, really something else. Bathfitter.com to learn more. All right, it is.
What? Got to move my coffee.
8:46 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16
tons. Welcome back. My thanks to Mike Turner, Area Development Manager for Bathfitter, for joining us this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. This is Joan in Chicago. Hi, Joan.
Hi there.
Earlier, you were talking with somebody about painting, and I'd like you to break it down to an even more basic level, if you would.
Okay.
As in, what sandpaper grade do you recommend?
When we're talking about painting the walls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're going to sand the walls down, what I would invest in is you can buy a sanding block that is a rectangular pad that is basically a, let's see, what is it, a half sheet? You can buy these sheets too, but I think they're half sheets. And it has a little spinner on it, and you can put a pole. And you'll put a, on something like for a wall, I would just use a medium grit, like an 80 grit sandpaper. And like I said, you can buy these pads that fit this sander, and you can use it like you're almost like you're brushing the wall, but that pad is against the wall. You'll just knock down and open up the film surface of the paint, then wipe that wall down, and then paint and prime.
Go ahead. You mentioned washing, and do you have a favorite soap that you use for washing, and is rinsing required?
Maybe I'm a little old school, but you can use something as simple as Spick and Span with warm water that does a really nice job. It's and then they do have a version that's a no rinse, but I still think that you're going to wipe this down. Really, all we're doing with wiping it down is taking the dust and debris off, because the sanding should prep you, right? So you're just kind of wiping it down. You do that, you come back over it with clean water and a sponge, and then that's it. Let that dry. Then you use your paint and primer in one. I know that it adds some steps, but it's a better long term. It's just going to last longer, and you're going to get better coverage from the paint, and it's just going to look better.
And that's what I appreciate having you tell us.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Yeah, you give us so many good levels of instruction, and I thought, I'm going to sound like an idiot asking this. But
no, you don't. Okay. No, you don't. Absolutely not.
Better I should find out, you know, what you really recommend. So I really appreciate hearing this.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. This is Ken in Prospect Heights. Hey, Ken, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I got a little electrical problem. There's a back in my kitchen along the backsplash. Came home the other day, and the switch was tripped. So I figured I'd just push the button in, and, well, that didn't work. So I had an extra one. I replaced it. Still the same thing. It's tripped, and nothing's going off on the breaker at the box. I've replaced the switch several times. I'm just wondering, could it be short, or could the wires be exposed somewhere?
This is a GFCI receptacle, right?
It is.
Okay, and this is in the kitchen?
It is.
Does this receptacle feed other items on the wall in the backsplash?
They're running a series. There's another one that I have lights over the kitchen sink, and that works fine.
Right, but this, my point is, this particular one, there's not another receptacle on the load side that it picks up. Like, are there other dead outlets now that aren't GFCI in the system?
Yeah. Actually, this one has, so it's a GFCI, and then in the same box is a, a USB so we can plug our phones in and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That as well.
Okay, so when you took this receptacle off, you replaced it, you wired it just like the other one was, and that, I bet it's that device, I bet it's that USB device.
You think so?
Take that device off, okay, because it won't reset, right? In other words, you put it on, and you can't get it to set.
Correct, it's as hard as a rock, I can't even push it in.
Okay, so take it apart with the breaker off. Remember this, too, is that with GFCIs, it's really important that you shut the breaker off before you do that, because if you put them under load right away, sometimes that can trip the device internally as well. And so kill the breaker, take that USB device off, don't wire it, just wire the device by itself and see if it works. If it works, then we know that the USB device you got to short.
Yeah, because the GFCI, okay, so you're saying that if that's faulty, that could be tripping it.
Well, not letting you reset it. And remember that those chargers have a little transformer in there because, you know, they have a, basically it's like a dimmer switch because they're only, you know, they're charging it like 5 amps or 3 amps.
Correct.
Not five, but probably three and one or something like that. And so it's probably that device. If the other receptacles in the backsplash are just regular receptacles, then that probably isn't the issue. It's that device right next to it.
Yeah, they're all GFCI around the sink and everything, but none of those are problematic. They're all working.
Right, but those are not controlled by the one that won't reset, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Try that.
Okay. I never thought about changing the USB thing out. Okay.
You got it.
I'll do it right now.
Good luck. I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much. It's 8:57 in the morning. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini. Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, here I am.
Welcome back.
I'm yours.
Really not in good voice this morning. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware. And by Dykstra Home Services, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. It is 9:11 in the morning.
Here I am,
this is Gary in Forest Park. Hi, Gary. You're on WGN. Hello, Gary. I hear Gary. He's listening. Hey, Gary. Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Hi, Gary.
Yes.
How may I help you, sir?
Okay. Condo's being converted, and they're running a radon test in the condo. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, radon is a real issue. It's a radioactive, natural occurring. It's everywhere in our lives. I mean, it's outside right now in the front lawn of anybody's house, but concentrated radon levels above certain readings can be a potential harm. However, it can be remediated if the levels are too high. What is your concern?
Okay. Condo was just sold and they did a test without knowing about it. Is that legal?
What do you mean they did a test? Meaning that the buyers did it?
Yeah, but it wasn't included in the contract.
Wasn't included in the
They did a, it was something that the real estate agent didn't even know about.
Okay, but did they, typically with radon tests, they've got to measure certain areas for a certain period of time to do a radon test. Did they do a quick radon test? And are they saying to you that radon levels are high?
24 hours.
Oh, they did do a
24-hour test.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, and what are they saying? You have high radon levels?
I don't know. I haven't said yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what your contract is, the sales contract, if it wasn't included or they did it or not, or if that was something that's called out.
No, it was not included in there.
But many times...
They just went and did it.
Okay.
Without permission.
All right. Radon test.
They gave them a home inspection, gave him that, but then they came in and said... They didn't tell us anything. They just went and did the radon test.
The
home inspection.
The home inspector did it, but the home inspection typically, depending on you don't hire the home inspector, the seller does, and so
right.
It I don't know that it's a violation of your contract for them to do a radon test. Now,
oh,
I mean, you know, again, I'm not a lawyer, but radon tests are being done more and more now. And in many cases, lenders are requiring them as well. And so your realtor, I'm surprised, is like, you know, raising an alarm about this. But again, I don't want to get involved in, I can't comment on what your situation is, but radon tests are pretty common. It is something that can be remediated if for some reason they find high levels there. And in many cases, you know, there might be some kind of credit that you have to give to the buyer.
Yeah, how expensive is that?
They're not super expensive. I mean, if it's a condo, and I assume you have a lower level, do you have a lower level?
Yeah, first floor.
Okay, so it's first floor. It's not a basement.
No.
Okay. I mean, you know, if it's a condominium, the remediation could be $1,000 or $1,500. I mean, it's not a giant amount of money. Even a whole house, if we were talking about a basement, you know, it's rare that those get into the $5,000 range. But I wouldn't. Let's just see where the results come in, and I don't know that necessarily it's a violation of your contract. But again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not your realtor. That would be something that you would contact them about to find out about. Let's see where the chips fall, and then go from there. Gary, I appreciate the phone call. Let's talk with, let me see here. Where am I? Right here. This is Carl in Chicago. Hey, Carl, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. What's going on?
I have an older two-flat building, brick two-flat, and I need to refinish the front outer door and the door frame. And I need to scrape out the caulk that's in between the brick and the wooden frame and re-caulk it, and I need to know what's a good caulk to use, and then I need to refinish the door maybe with a light stain and not in a glossy but like in a semi-gloss finish. So I need to know the caulk and maybe what kind of finish material I should put on the door and the frame.
Okay, on the caulking side, I think what's important there is you're going to cut out as much as you can, you know, with the utility knife and maybe some putty knives. And then, depending on if there's residue on the brick, Gougon makes a caulk remover. It's a separate product from the regular Gougon product that will help dissolve if it was a latex caulking. It'd probably help you even with the silicone, but it's really designed for latex. And that can be a great way to clean that up. I really like, on the exterior side, a product called Solar Seal.
Can you spell it?
Solar, like the sun, S-O-L-A-R,
gotcha.
Seal, okay. Right? Seal. Solar Seal. And you can, if you go to their website, you should be able to find dealers. Good paint stores, good hardware stores sell it. And it comes in different colors. You really have to be good at caulking, but it sounds like you've got some skills here, because You don't tool this material, meaning that when you caulk it, that's how it comes out. You don't come back with your finger. So that bead and that consistency when you use it, it flows really well. What's a good idea with this product is leave the tubes out in the sun for a little bit, because when it's warmer, it flows better to go inside there, and you get a nice bead. And they call it a Terra Polymer material, so it stays flexible, comes in a bunch of different colors. Now, as far as the finish goes, you know, you're going to sand that door down and get it down to, you know, the get rid of the finish, and you're going to stain it, correct? That's your idea, is to stain it?
Well, a light stain, because it has a nice color to it, but on the bottom portion of the frame,
it's faded.
It had rotted away a little bit, so it's kind of bleached out.
Got it.
So I need like a light stain with a semi-gloss finish, maybe all in one.
I'm not a big fan of the all-in-one.
Okay.
So I'd rather you not do that. I would first try and color match it with a stain, right? So you're going to go with a lighter stain, lighter than what you have there. Put that on there and then try and blend it all together after you sand it all down. Then this is my recipe for wood doors. You're going to do 3 coats of a spar varnish. But what you're going to do with the spar varnish is that first coat, you're going to take a container, you're going to pour a cup of the spar varnish in a satin or semi-gloss finish, whatever you want. Then you're going to, with a cup of the spar varnish and a quarter cup of mineral spirits, and you're going to stir that up. That's your first coat. The idea behind that is the thinning of it drives the solids from the spar varnish deeper into the wood, and so it really gives you a good base. When that dries, typically in about 3 or 4 hours, you're going to knock it down with some steel wool to get it nice and smooth, and then two more coats, allowing each to dry, of full-strength spar varnish, and it will really hold up and last well. Last a long time.
Okay.
Got it?
Sounds pretty good.
Get to work. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. It's 9:20 in the morning. Time to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This lady loves Lou.
And I've been listening to you forever. I love you, love you.
This guy, he loves Lou too.
I don't think I've missed a show except for when I was out of town.
Yep, another lover.
Good morning. I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
But hey, that's not what this rejoin is about. We're not trying to oversell Lou. I'm just doing like a public service announcement.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
So now you decide for yourself. Back to your host, Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. What's love
got to do? 9:25 in the morning. What's love but a secondhand emotion? 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. Who needs a heart when this is Bill in Bloomingdale. Hey, Bill. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Bill. I can hear Bill.
Hey, Lou.
Hi.
Lou?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Lou, this is Bill in Bloomingdale.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, I got a question regarding plumbing.
Okay. Can you turn that? Bill, you need to turn that radio down or you're never going to get through this conversation, my friend.
Okay, hold on. I'll get it down.
Yep.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't tell me I lost them.
No, I'm right here, Bill.
You disconnected.
No, right here, Bill.
Lou?
Hello, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got you. Lou, I have a condo, a third-floor condo.
Okay.
And I have banging water pipes. The situation is I drained the system because I had heard on your program once before that it might be just necessary to drain the system and I could get air out of there or into the pipes again.
Yep.
And I did that, and, of course, it's still banging. So the next step was to contact a plumber, and we had talked about changing my hot water tank. It was due. It was old, and I didn't want to take any chances, so I changed that. And he suggested putting some sort of a pressure tank at the hot water tank position, and he said maybe that would do it because the problem persisted. We put that on, and it's still banging. Now, when I turn the water on and it starts banging, and I hold my hand up high near the ceiling and to the left, I can feel banging up there. So I cut a hole in the wall, and there's nothing there except a 4-inch vent pipe. Where do I go from here to get rid of that banging problem?
Okay, third floor condo, you have your own water supply to the...
Yep.
Condo, correct?
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. And how many bathrooms?
Two, back to back.
Back to back. And do you have a laundry room? And
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I think that the issue is still that the system didn't get drained properly. And, I mean, the fact that you had a plumber there, there should be what they call compression chambers back behind all the fixtures. And I don't know if, you can't tell that unless you open up the walls. But I would try one more time. Shut the valve off to the main. Then open every valve and flush every toilet. I got to get the water out of there. Open up, turn on the washing machine so that opens up as well. I got to get all that water out of there so that I'm actually putting air back in the system. Now, I guess my question to you, Bill, is that has this problem been going on for a long time or did it just...
Years.
Okay.
Nobody has ever been able to come up with a possible solution for me.
Okay.
And,
I think that...
Now, the one...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. I think that the issue...
I was just going to...
You go ahead.
I was just going to say the only thing when you were mentioning draining, the one thing I didn't do, when I drained that system, the lowest point would have been the bathroom sinks. I did not disconnect the toilet. I didn't ever flush the toilet, as you just suggested, either.
Right. How old is the condo building?
About 20-some years old.
Okay, so it has to have compression chambers behind the walls for everything. Try this again.
Right.
Turn the valves off. Open everything up. Turn the washing machine on. Flush the toilets so that it sputs and spitters and whatever. And then once that is done, no more water's flowing anywhere, then close everything, then refill the system. The other thing I want you to do is, at the water heater, if you can, you know where the, when you turn the water off, at the water heater, and you've got that, you know, the pressure relief valve on the water heater?
Yes.
Put a bucket under that and get a little water out of there, too. Not a lot, just a little. Fill up a bucket.
Okay.
And get air in that system and then turn it all back on with the valves off and refill the system. And that should solve the problem. Try that, and it should solve the problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:30 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hi, it's Lindsay of House Smarts Radio. You've heard me talk about builders.
We all got our problems. If you need help with your house, then call Lou on House Smarts Radio. Now, can you get me some juice?
Woo! Get that girl some juice. Welcome back. 9:34 in the morning. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is Rick in Des Plaines. Hey, Rick, you're on WGN. Good morning. 9:34 in the morning. There's Rick. He's listening. We get to hear the show twice. You know, I know you tell the people to turn the radios down. I know you do. But then Rick, he just doesn't do it. Rick?
Well, it's turn it down when you
pick
up
the phone.
Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. Quick question.
Yes, sir.
Friend of mine has a house that's about 100 years old, and she wants to sell it. But at one point, they had 37 cats in the place, and it stinks. She's had about 30 people stop by and not one offer. So I wondered if you know of a service that would go in and clean that, or if she needs to consider hiring a contractor to come in and tear out the floors, and then what would they put in, like plywood, or what would you recommend?
Wow. You know, I'm not a cat hater. I'm just not a cat lover. Boy, that's a lot of cats. I think it sure is.
The cats are gone.
Yeah.
She has lung disease, and the doctor says it could be from the odor from the cat.
Mm, that's awful. That's really sad to hear. I mean, I think that the first thing, do you know, have you been into the house? Like, what are the floors?
They're hardwood. There's no carpeting. I know that.
Okay. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, if she had a ton of cats for that length of time, there's no cleaning service that's going to get that odor out of what's potentially in the floors. And so you're going to have the old floor, or she's going to have the old flooring removed. There's a possibility that even the subflooring is contaminated at this point, and that may have to be removed. And so, you know, I suppose she's just looking to sell the house, and
she needs to move into a retirement community, but she has to sell the house first.
Yeah. I mean, I will tell you that, you know, you may hear these ads on WGN, this Grandview Homes, which they buy houses, you know, like, basically not sight unseen, but you know, they'll give you an offer on a house as is, and then, you know, they'll either redevelop it or do whatever. Now my guess is, you know, the thing that you've got that your friend has to ask herself is, if you hire a contractor to rip out all these floors and do all this, you know, what's the shape of the rest of the house? In other words, do the bathrooms need to be updated? Do the kitchens need to be updated? If all of a sudden we're going to spend $50,000, I'm just making that number up.
Sure.
If you go to a company like this Grandview Homes, and you know, and they offer you a number, you know, maybe she's got a number in her head, like, I really think it's worth X, and they come in and say, well, I'm going to give you Y, you know, if it's in the realm of all that and you don't have to do all the work and they just buy the house and do whatever with it, that might be the way for her to go.
But you think a contractor would just cost too much money to tear up the floors?
I just don't know. You know, without knowing the, you know, without, you know, real estate is not just about the four walls and the floors, but it's about mm-hmm. location and you know, the shape of the rest of the house. You know, what's the age of the roof? What's the yard like? And now all of a sudden, if you're doing all this work and you're spending all this money, are you just trading dollars if you've got a company like, again, I'm not... They're not an advertiser of mine. I don't know these people. I just hear their ads like you do. And they'll send somebody,
yes.
You know, I'll send somebody over and take a look at it. And maybe the offer isn't great, but you're not doing any of the work.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
All right. I'll tell her that. Yeah. Thank you very much,
good,
Lou.
Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4LOU. 4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines now and talk to Tom. Tom is in Bartlett. Hey, Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, how you doing?
I'm well. What's
did
going
you
on?
Put on your, did you put your composite deck hat on?
Hold on. Wait one second. Wait. Okay, got it.
Yeah, could you put your composite deck hat on?
I just put it on, yeah. Go ahead.
I saw your video, YouTube video on Rock Solid Deck Composite Refresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I used that over my deck. It's about a 15-year-old deck, and I think it's, you know, one of the earlier composite decks. I wonder if over the top of that, if I should put, like, there's a product called Defy Extreme Composite Deck Sealer.
No. See, here's the thing. That the rock solid thing that you used, you put it on, right?
Yeah, I just put it on yesterday.
Do you like how it looks?
It looks good. I'm wondering if it needs a second coat.
Which you can do. Were you surprised at how watery it was?
Absolutely. Yeah. 1 gallon covered about 400 square feet.
Yeah. So it almost, when you look, you open up the can, you're like, I remember the first time I saw it before we did the video, I'm like, well, this must be a mistake. You know what I mean? Like somebody forgot to put the color in this. But the whole idea, if you have an older composite deck like you have, the newer ones that have the shell on it, this doesn't work. But the older ones absorb this colorant and it really does work. And so you do not want to seal it in any stretch of the imagination because you don't want to trap any dirt. The whole idea with those older ones is they do absorb moisture a little bit, and you know, because it's a blend between the polymer and the wood shavings, but this brings that color back. It actually takes the wood portion of the older composite, and that's what gives it that color. And if you want to do a second coat, you can, and it'll give it a richer color, but do not put any sealer over that. That would be a mistake, in my opinion.
And why would that be?
Because I think, so with the sealers, okay, I'm going to put this over the top. That product that you have is expanding and contracting all the time. And that sealer is going to be almost like a floor wax. And the minute that product sweats, you know, expands a little bit and then comes back, it starts to stretch it out. Then dirt and debris gets caught underneath the sealer, and then your deck looks dirty.
Got it.
100%.
Thanks for the help.
All right, I'm going to take that hat off now. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our number. This is Marianne in Orland Park. Hi, Marianne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou.
Morning.
Hey, I have a question. Couple months ago, a gentleman called in with a lazy toilet, and I have one on my first floor. And a couple months ago, you recommended to use a coat hanger and to go in those holes around the rim. And then after that, put some CLR into the tank and flush it just a little bit. And so I did that to all the toilets in my house, and they're all working better. except the one on the first floor. I got to plunge that thing probably every week. Hmm. Is it time to call the plumber?
Let me ask you this. That one on the first floor, how old is that toilet?
Oh, 22.
Okay. So when the toilet is clean, okay, I want you to put your hand into the bowl, okay, with your palm.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, with your palm up, and that old toilet, right there where the flush hole is, right above there, there's probably a jet within the china that you're going to take the coat hanger and shove in there and scrape that out.
And I
bet that old toilet has that, and if you scrape that out, you'll improve the action on that toilet as well. All right.
Okay. So it's kind of at the bottom of the bowl.
It's in the bowl with your hand. When you flush the toilet with nothing in it, I want you to look to see, when you flush it, if you see, like, water kind of squirting back, kind of...
Yeah.
Towards the front, and then as it flushes, it goes down. That's a little jet to aid in the flushing, and you're going to take that same coat hanger trick and kind of scrape that hole as well. Good times. Good times, Marianne.
No, yeah. I got gloves. I can do it.
That's all. Marianne, we're going to send you out a House Smarts Radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Receive a $1,000 Apt gift card. With a full kitchen remodel, visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. The offer ends September 15th. It's 9:44 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Got up in the attic the next rain to look around and found a specific point of a leak right where the chimney comes out the roof. So I immediately thought, it's probably a flashing issue. We called a...
And did you kind of hike up your pants at that point? Because you're like, it's probably a flashing issue.
Yeah, detail. Not a problem.
Yeah, honey, don't worry, I can handle it. I can handle it. You're kind of looking like Don Knotts in the Andy Griffith Show.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's a flashing detail. And all I need is a little caulk, and I'm all set, honey. I think I need to take a nap.
Now back to your host on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU, 9:48 in the morning. Just a few minutes left in our show. Thank you so much for waking up with us this morning and joining us every Saturday morning. I so appreciate it. This is Wanda in Chicago. Wanda, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing well. How may I help you this morning?
Okay, one word. Spiders. Okay?
Yep.
Big, gigantic spider has made his web right as I walk down my front steps. Okay? I got a broom. I cleared the web away. Next day, the darn spider is back again. How do I get rid of this spider?
Ready? Miss Muffet's or Mrs. Muffet's? Miss Muffet's. Miss Muffet's Revenge. By Wet and Forget. I'm pretty sure that they figured out that Wet and Forget somehow keeps spiders away, although it's not the same product. It comes in a gray bottle.
Okay.
And wherever you have issues with spiders, you can spray it.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't come back.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating her curds and whey.
Curds and whey. And then along came that stinking spider. All right. Thank you so much, Lou.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Mike in Yorkville. Hey, Mike. You're on.
Hi, how
smart.
Are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Question for you. You know, about 10 years ago, my daughter made some outdoor furniture, right? A chaise lounge and a potting bench out of cedar.
Nice.
And it seems like every year I have to refinish it. So I'm looking for something that's long-term. I know you talked about the dilution on the spar varnish and the mineral spirits. Would that work on that as well?
It would, but I think that it would, for sure, and it would be a lot smoother finish. The thing with the cedar is, although the fact that it's so old, when you say you refinish it, is the color there, or what are you doing? Are you just staining it, or what are you doing?
Well, I'm just staining it with a clear stain.
Like,
you
know,
when I refinish it,
like a semi.
When I refinish it, I
go ahead.
Good. Like a gloss.
Okay.
I'm looking for something like a marine type finish that will just be gloss, and I'm done with it.
Okay. So I would sand it all down, and are you going to restain it a color, or you're just keeping the regular cedar?
Just the clear.
Okay.
Cedar.
So then do the spar varnish trick. I mean, the issue is if you got a piece of furniture that sits out in the sun 24, I mean, not 24, but, you know, if it's out in the sun for 10, 12 hours, it's going to be tough. That's going to be a really hard thing to do. But with the spar varnish and the thinning of the first coat with the mineral spirits, it's going to absorb in and really hold better. And then if you do the couple coats on there, you should get more years of performance. Is it forever? No. But it'll definitely last longer if you do this trick.
Okay. And what was that solution again?
One cup of spar varnish, quarter cup of mineral spirits, stir it really well, and then brush it on.
Great.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks. Love your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. 9:52 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be back after this. It's 9:55 in the morning. 877-213-4 Lou is our number. For those of you that know, if you couldn't get through today, I do a show after this in California. So you can call this number, and I can continue to answer your questions if you'd like at 877-213-4-Lou. But right now, let's go to Jane, who's in Wisconsin. Hey, Jane. You're on WGN. Good morning. Hi.
Hi. I grew up in a hardware store in Lake Forest, so I've been fixing things for 70 years.
I love it.
I live in Wisconsin. I have a small house. The roof has four valleys, and we don't have rain showers anymore. We have torrents that come down.
Right. We get up.
The water comes down the valley and splashes over the gutter and hits the foundation. Nobody can seem to figure out how to fix that.
Well, all right. So a gutter contractor can put these little fins or these stops in the valley, which is an aluminum.
Yeah, I've seen those divert like a little diverter.
Well, it's not a. It's really like a stop. And it extends up. They actually make these that you can put in valleys already, and you screw them in with a couple of self-tapping screws. And what that does is when that torrential rain comes down, as you talk about, some of that, of course, will go over the top of the gutter if it's coming down too fast. This actually is almost like a brake. It hits that and then diverts into the gutters. Now, the one thing that I will tell you is with all those valleys, what would probably be helpful for you is to, when you have that same gutter contractor come and do this, talk to them about increasing the size of the lookouts, meaning that the holes that are cut in the gutters and put in oversized downspouts. So you can put an oversized downspout on a standard gutter. It won't look odd. In a perfect world, you'd have oversized gutters all together, but you could do this. And what that does is it gets the water out of that gutter faster and at a higher volume. And so when that water is rushing down at a steep pace, you know, it hits that gutter. And if that gutter fills up, well, then that can still cause it to go over there. But if you do the combination of the shields on those inside valleys and then increase the size of the lookout and the downspout, then you should be good to go.
From this lookout, then, does the downspout go straight down? Because my gutters go horizontally.
Say
from
that.
The bottom of the valley.
Say that again.
My gutters go horizontally from the bottom of the valley. With this lookout, would the downspout go straight down?
So the lookout is actually the lookout is the actual hole in your gutter. That when you look at your downspouts currently, what they're connected to is what's called in the gutter business called a lookout, the hole. There's like a little aluminum sleeve that goes in there that they caulk. It doesn't seal. And then the downspouts connect to that. So they would, you can't just put a bigger downspout. You have to increase the size of the hole so that the water goes out faster. And that you'll solve this problem. So the shield in all the valleys, increase the size of the downspouts, and I think that you'll solve this problem. Thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, to House Smarts Radio every Saturday morning. You're so nice. Thanks to Lindsay. Happy upcoming birthday to you.
Thanks, Lou.
I really appreciate it. Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. Joe Brand, David Jennings. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week on House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN.